Good afternoon, and welcome to the Publishing Business Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Brian Howard. I'm the editor-in-chief of Book Business Magazine, coming to you live from the always sunny Philadelphia headquarters of Book Business. I am pleased to welcome you to another great live session, Tapping Apps, Strategies That Work, and the Next Killer App. We have some great panelists lined up for you, but before I tell you about them, let's review some tech tips. I'd like to point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, you can troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console. It's the one marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, and you can send them in at any time. Please make sure to turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets, bells, and whistles on this console. Speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. You can even tweet right from the console. Lastly, if you leave this session at any time or would like to view it again later, you can access the entire presentation from the auditorium in the Publishing Business Virtual On-Demand environment, which will be open for 3 months beginning on Monday, October 31st, 2011. Okay, so back to today's panelists. We've got Dan Blank, Director of Content Strategy and Development with Reed Business Information. We have Graham Farrar on the line. He's co-founder of the Zooka Group's iStorytime. And we've got Samir Sharif, CEO of Impelsis. Without further ado, I'm going to hand things over to Dan. Floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Brian. I appreciate it. So I'm really excited to be moderating this panel. I think that this is an absolutely critical topic that publishers are trying to really address, and that the roadmap ahead is not all that clear. So how this is going to work is I'm going to introduce both Graham and Samir, and they're each going to give you an overview of what they've been working on, of the success that they've been seeing, to get a good basis of where they've been and what they can be teaching us. Then I'll take you into a moderated Q&A where I'll be asking them what challenges they've seen, what they see is working, really trying to pull out a lot of tips and strategies that you might want to use for building your book app strategy. And then finally, the last 20, 25 minutes or so, hopefully you'll be able to address a lot of your own questions. So I definitely encourage you to be asking questions throughout the presentation. I'll get to them all when we're about half hour, 40 minutes in. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Graham Farrar. He's the co-founder of the Zooka Group, which is the publisher of iStorytime. So after co-founding Frog Dog Media, the company's iStorytime digital publishing brand merged with Zooka, which resulted in the world's largest publisher of mobile children's entertainment. Prior to that, he was a part of the founding team of Sonos. He was part of the original team of Software.com. He worked at Wavefront Technologies, which is one of the first industrial 3D animation software development companies. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention he also founded and invented the Baby Toupee line of wigs for babies. So, Graham, welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much, and hopefully I still have some credibility after the baby toupee comment. But I'm going to start with a quick overview of who Zooka is and what we've done, just to give some background and context to what we're all about. So basically, we are a mobile developer for children's content. It used to be that I would say that we were an app developer, but in today's market, that's actually getting to be a blurrier line. So what we do is everything from creative design, conceptual design, animation. We have sound studios, so we do narration, sound engineering, sound effects. We also do development of apps. We've got about 130 children's book apps in Apple's App Store. We also have apps with Nook, Nook Color in the Android, EPUB 3, interactive EPUBs, EPUB read-alongs. So basically any way that you would get digital children's content as a platform that we work with and on. Our main brand is iStorytime, which is our consumer-facing brand and includes a lot of our book content. We also have a comics line called Zooka Comics, and then another product called iTalk, which is in line with the talking characters but branded. So I'm based in Santa Barbara. That's our U.S. headquarters. We also have a European headquarters in Frankfurt, and we have design teams and developers in both locations. So as I mentioned, you know, what we do is really development of children's digital products, and I assume everybody here knows that digital needs to be a part of a strategy going forward, and if you don't, then you could probably save yourself the next hour and go do some research, but, you know, I think we're well past the question of whether or not digital is going to be a force moving forward for publishing, and now the question is how do you attack it, what's your strategy, and what's the most efficient and profitable way to move forward from there. So some of the things that we've done in the past is we've had 10 now number one apps in the book category for Apple's App Store. We've got countless ones in international stores. We've got 750,000 plus users who've used our products over 10 million times. We also have just recently released the world's first interactive ebook on Apple's iBook store in the Five Little Pumpkins. It's the neat Halloween title, and for the first time in the EPUB world, supports interaction, user-activated animations, sound effects, read aloud, background audio tracks, and it's definitely something neat to look at and see how far the ebook platform is coming. We've numerous awards, New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, have all given us accolades on some of the work that we've done. People that we work with, DreamWorks, Sony, Nickelodeon, Cartoon Networks, Fox, Spin Master, lots of content partners, and then publishing partners as well. So we do things both as original creations as well as working with publishers on traditional printed publications as well. So I wanted to talk a little bit as a case studies. One of our recently launched apps is the Smurfs movie storybook. So this was an app that we created based on the Smurfs movie that recently came out from Sony, and we worked with them using images from the movie and from the animator studio to create an app that is a retelling of the story of the movie that's portable and fairly inexpensive. It's $2.99 in the App Store, also available on Android and also available on iBooks. It reads along, so children can use it in the back seat of a car or at a grocery store or you know, at dinner, airplanes, things like that. It has a game included in the app, which is like an activity at the end where you can kind of like a find the difference if you think back on the old Highlights magazine days. And I'm going to run through kind of the process for creating an app like this, and it's applicable to really anybody approaching this, and goes through some of the strategies that you want to use and questions you should be asking yourself as you go through the process. So I'd like to tell people that things are getting easier in terms of the landscape, but I think the more accurate assessment is that things are actually getting blurrier. It used to be when we started, we've been doing this for about 3 years, which doesn't sound like a very long time, but it is about as long as you could be creating apps. So I tell people oftentimes that we're the oldest kid on the monkey bars in this industry. And it used to be that apps were the only way to do good digital children's content because there wasn't fixed layout. The e-readers didn't support narration and read-along and things like that. So if you wanted to do good fixed layout content with narration, apps were the only way to do it. That's changing a little bit now because the EPUB and, you know, from Nook to EPIB, Amazon's actually not going to do it with the Kindle Fire format out of the gate, but I'm sure they will. You can now pick between doing apps and doing ebooks. And while you can certainly do more with apps, you can do a lot with the EPUB formats as well. So it's even more important to know what it is that you're trying to do and who you're trying to reach. So questions to ask is, you know, what is it? Is this a traditional book that you're trying to move over? Is it an original creation that you're trying to launch? Is it a brand that's known, that's not known? For the case of the Smurfs, what we were doing is we were doing an adaptation of the movie. And so for that, we were trying to basically appeal to Smurf fans, people who'd seen the movie and then wanted to give their kids a way that they could have a 15-minute version of it that was portable, inexpensive, and able to be used independently by the children. So for us, the goal on this one was to make a retelling of the story that parents could buy for their kids and that they could use anywhere. And then the other question, one of the things that we always ask is how can we make the story better? So it's one thing to just do kind of a pages to pixels transition, but there's a bunch of new capabilities in these devices, the iPad and things like that with cameras and touch screens and motion sensors and things like that. And you want to find ways, or at least we like to find ways, where we don't just take a story and replace a page with a pixel, but actually make the story better. So, for example, in the Smurfs one, we included narration in there, the text highlights as a learning tool for children. So as they read it, they see the words highlight, and they can have it either turn the pages automatically, they can read it on their own, or they can swipe the pages on their own. And then it also includes a game, a spot the difference at the end. So from there, it's important to consider who your customers are. And this is, I know, a bit specific to the children's space that we work in, but for us, it's key to keep in mind that there's at least two customers, and really there's three. The first is the person who's going to click the buy button and buy the product, and that's the parent. So you want to find things that you can do that make the product appealing to them. One of the reasons that we have the text and the text highlighting on the screen is because parents like that because it adds educational value. The second customer is the children who we want to use our product and ask their parents for more products from us and to enjoy it. So from that point of view, you're looking for a good story, you're looking for bright pictures, animations, the fixed layout pieces that kids like, and then having great characters and brands like the Smurfs helps as well. And then there's a third customer in there, because one of the big factors in success of digital books or digital apps these days is the platform that you're selling it through and their interest in marketing you. So, for example, Apple owns the billboard of the iTunes store, and what they decide to do with your apps makes a lot of difference in terms of how they get found. So you also want to be thinking about what it is that the platform that you're going to sell it through is looking for. Are they looking for interactivity? Are they looking for, you know, ways to showcase their device? Are they looking for read-aloud content because they're trying to build up that library? And make sure that you're appealing to that too, because their interest in what you produce is key to getting exposure. So takeaway on that is make sure you know what it is you're trying to build and who you're trying to build it for. So there's a lot of platforms out there now, and it's a growing list. It used to be that the Apple's App Store was really the only game in town for children's content. Recently, the iBook Store added read-aloud capabilities, so now you can have fixed layout with narration. Nook is doing some really neat work and with their latest Nook Color tablet. It's marketed as an e-reader, which is key for our demographic because from that point, once you have a customer who's purchased an e-reader, the only question for us then is, do you have kids or not? And one of the nice things about the Nook is that they have a unified search result so that if you search for the Smurfs on Nook, from a consumer point of view, it makes no difference if you're looking for an app or an e-book. It's going to present it to you. And so for us, that's great because it doesn't no longer matters to the customer if it's an app or an e-book. You contrast that to Apple, and if you think book and you think iBooks and you search there, you don't see what's in the App Store. Or likewise, if you're an app shopper and you search for something and it exists as an iBook, you don't see that in the App Store. And so one of the nice things that Nook has done is they've really taken away from the consumer point of view a distinction between an EPUB and an app. It doesn't matter anymore, just the content and how it's delivered. Obviously, Amazon's right around the corner, about 15 days out from their launch of the Kindle Fire. That's going to be an interesting platform. They've certainly hit a unique price point that I think is going to motivate a lot of people. They've got a built-in app store. If there's one thing that Amazon knows how to do, it's how to run a store and how to monetize and market and cross-promote. And their suggestion and recommendation engine is you know, an amazingly powerful tool. They also have all the physical to go along with it. So if somebody's searching for the Smurf DVD and the DVD hasn't been launched yet or has, they are definitely going to be suggesting digital products to go along with it. And their strategy there is definitely to be the Kindle Fire to be a content consumption and delivery device. And so they're going to be looking to sell everything they can through that channel. The other interesting thing happening right now is that the EPUBs are getting more and more interactive. So what used to be only the domain of an app can now be done as an EPUB. And so you need to really think about where your consumers for your product are. If you're doing a traditional print conversion, for example, we do a Biscuit the Little Yellow Puppy books. That's more of a traditional print product, and so you may find that people are looking for that in the e-reader stores versus the app store. It may be an iBook market. You can certainly release the same product in multiple markets. That's what we've done with the Smurfs. It's on Apple's App Store. It's on Apple's iBook store. It's on the Nook as an app, but presented along with books. It's on Amazon's store as well. So, you know, the strategy now, I think, that we recommend to people is know your market, and unless there's a reason to exclude a particular platform, you probably want to be there. They're all getting to be interesting. The market's growing at an incredibly fast rate. And so unless there's a reason that you don't want to be someplace, you probably do want to be there. So the goal in that is to think about what you're doing, where your consumer is going to be, and make sure you're hitting it in the right spot. Then finally, it's the development. So now once you have a product, once you know what you're trying to do, what you're trying to build and where you're trying to build it for, your development process is going to be different based on if you're trying to build an interactive iBook or if you're building a read aloud or an Android app or an Apple iOS app. You're going to need to know how you're going to do that. So one of the things that we bring to the table is the ability to do all the above, so you don't end up having to have separate partners for each of those development platforms. The other thing to know is the assets that you're bringing into the project. So a lot of times InDesign, PDF files, and things like that are the starting point. Key to know that if you want to do things like animation and interactivity that where things move on the screen, that you're in for a pretty good amount of effort to convert a flat asset into an animated file. If you have layered Photoshop files and things like that, you've got a lot more flexibility on what it is that you're going to build. So knowing your assets is going to have a big impact on budget and cost to achieve the end result you're looking for. Knowing your assets can also help influence what platforms it is you decide to release on. So the key there is to have a strategy and then have a partner that can help you execute on that. And then the final piece is marketing. And marketing is actually probably the make or break component of launching an app or an ebook these days, especially in the app market. There's a flood of content. They've made the barriers to entry to that market very low, and as a result, a lot of people are doing it. There's over 500,000 apps now in Apple's App Store, and it's a big deal on how you get noticed. So there's a lot of ways to do that. You want to have good partnerships. We've been working with Apple for over 3 years now and have had 35-plus properties featured by them in some way. That makes a tremendous difference to get yourself above the noise. The other things that matter is, do you have a connection to customers? Do you know the people that are buying this product? Do you know the Biscuit readers? Do you have a mailing list, social? Do you have Facebook fans, Twitter followers, all those pieces? And those are things you want to start working on now if you don't have them all built up, because it takes time to build those connections up, and you're going to need them when you want to launch your app. Really what you're trying to do there is you're trying to get your app noticed by enough people that it can rise up the rankings in the various stores, so that then you start to get organic visibility in front of people who you don't have a connection to yet. One of our real strong pieces is that all of our customers were able to send push notifications to, which essentially is show up on their device like a text message. So when we launch a new book and when we launch Smurfs, we're able to reach out and tell 700,000 people with kids and iDevices who buy book apps for their kids that there's new content available. And that's a really strong thing to be able to do. So if you want to have a strategy, you definitely want to be including a way, or through, at least through a partner, a way to contact those customers and let them know about the content that you have coming available. So marketing is an important strategy. It's I feel like it's oftentimes gets considered as an afterthought, but it's actually one of the most important things that you can have in there, because you can do everything else right, and if nobody knows it happened, it doesn't make any difference. So, again, you know, partnerships with the platforms, making sure that they know what you're doing, connections to your customers, social, and the ability to reach out and tell people when you release your content are all key. So that's really it for me, is going through a case study on Smurfs there, and happy to take any questions at the end after the presentations.
Thank you, Graham. I appreciate it. Yeah, Keith, we've got a bunch of questions coming in, so please add more questions. We'll get to them in about 20 minutes. And before that, I want to introduce Samir Sharif. He is the founder and CEO of ImpelFits, who is the leader in online content delivery for the global publishing market. Their flagship product is iPublish Central, which helps publishers increase their revenue by delivering content online quickly and cost-effectively. And prior to that, he founded MedSite, which is one of the largest internet pharmaceutical marketing companies in the U.S. So welcome, Samir.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Dan. Let me get started. My name is Samir Sharif. I'm the founder and CEO of ImpelFits, and we've actually had a lot of success with iPublish Central, which is an online ebook delivery platform for the global book publishing industry. Basically, we've had success in multiple markets, and I'm actually just trying to get to the next slide here. It's not going to the next slide.
Let me know if you want me to push it.
Yeah, can you put it's. Do you see, what slide do you see, Dan?
Just your face in the intro.
Yeah, if we can go into the title slide for my slide deck.
Yep.
Something.
There we go.
Okay.
That is the next
slide. Okay. So what I'm going to talk about today is, I think, is really some examples of success that we've seen in the STM market, and then really something a little bit at very macro levels, I think what we're pushing our publishing customers to really look at as they formulate a digital strategy leveraging both the web and mobile devices. So we've had quite a bit of success in the market in the educational space and the children and in the STM markets. Graham talked about children's. And I think he did a great job in explaining with the Smurf case study how to create a right strategy. We've had a lot of success in the children's market with helping Sesame Street with their whole digital library and helping them go on to the web, and then as the mobile space came alive, moving into the mobile devices, allowing them to sell ebooks both as subscriptions on a monthly, on a yearly basis. But what I'm going to talk about today, so Graham's done a good job from a children's publishing perspective. I'm really going to focus on the STM market and give you some examples there. STM has really led the whole digital side. I mean, from CDs itself, in the science, technology, medical market, they've really been innovating in terms of leveraging technology to create better content tool sets for their consumers to, absorb the content and allow them to learn the content that they're pushing out. STM has rich content and really that leverages all the different digital media options. There's a lot of interactivity with content in this specific market, a lot of different types of functionality that from a digital software piece that they've used over the years to deliver better digital products in the market. So STM going digital as well as going onto the web as well as in mobile was an area that there was already experience in. I'm going to talk about how actually we helped one particular publisher, a leading STM publisher, who publishes a few hundred books a year. And most of these book titles had multiple digital digital assets that also that went along with it. It was PowerPoints, it was image libraries, it was quiz banks and assessment engines and things like that. So they now needed to actually create an app, a mobile strategy for these books. So what we recommended was actually creating a framework and an engine for a particular assessment, their quiz banks. We created the frameworks that allowed them to cost-effectively deliver, assessment apps for all their titles. So once we built the framework, it was easy for them to push out these new titles into the framework. What was really important what I'm going to touch upon is this framework was not only enabling them to create the apps, but it gave them a back-end infrastructure that will enable them to connect their content into these apps that were distributed through the stores into the end consumers, and it allowed them to connect to their end customers to either push content and updates to those apps that were out there, but also at the same time collect data that would be useful for them to actually understand what their readers were doing in terms of usage patterns and all of that, which I'll talk about. Another interesting case study is a very renowned society, the American Academy of Pediatrics, which actually built a whole ebook platform through our iPublish Central platform 2 years ago with a website where they actually sold ebooks from their website to be delivered on to be read on their websites or downloaded to laptops 2 years ago. And as tablets started coming out, their customers started asking for their content to be delivered onto tablet devices. So what the AAP did was actually leverage the iPublish Central bookstore as an app that allowed AAP to give their customers access to any of the books that their customers bought through their e-book store to be able to be accessed through an iOS device or an Android device, and allowed to give their customers a books on the cloud kind of experience. So really a complete platform that enabled them to deliver this content on the cloud, but at the same time connect to their end users, understand their users in terms of analytics and what they were doing. So what we're seeing and what we are telling our customers is that the internet really has broken down the barriers, and it has given the publishers a direct connection to their end users. And the mobile devices have given the best vehicle to connect to their end users. And what the internet and technology is allowing us to do is allowing us to create these paper trail or these data points that are available for us to actually gather. If you can take these data points and connect them together, it becomes information which transforms, and the information connecting all of those pieces together becomes knowledge. And once you take that knowledge and put it into the context of your particular business model or business market, your end customers, what they're doing, all of this data points and the knowledge become wisdom or intelligence that you can use to better market and better formulate better strategies to be more successful in this new world that we're moving into in the digital era. So we really, as a company, we're really preaching to our customers to really create a strategy that leverages this key component on the web. And really for you to do that, it's not really just about building apps. It's about having the infrastructure to connect all the dots, really, to not only be able to deliver the apps, but to push data to the end customers, but also to collect data back and then use that data to create better digital strategies. What kind of data can you actually get out of what kind of data can you actually get from all of this? It's really multiple types. It's really allowing you to understand your readers better in terms of following your readers on the number of book reads, the number of page reads, patterns that you're seeing on where they've visited, what chapters they visit, which is the most popular chapter, the paths that they've taken across, you know, as they go around into the book, you know, visits on the number of titles, and the types of access that they're doing. Are they doing it through Android devices? Are they doing it through browsers? And really understanding your customers better understanding, you know, what they're doing with your content. And, you know, taking that, those data points, you know, taking what you already have in terms of your traditional data and really leveraging all of this to create a better understanding of your end market. But I think what we are seeing is that, you know, traditionally in the digital side, we had, you know, desktops and laptops as a vehicle to consume content. But as we move into the mobile space, we are in a position where, you know, we are carrying our devices along with us at all times. So if you can push out an app and be able to allow your customer to actually have him download that app into his phone or a tablet, you're basically with that customer in terms of touch points a lot more. And if you can enable yourself to collect the data from those touch points, you're actually going to have tremendous amount of intelligence to help you actually deliver better value to yourself in terms of formulating better strategies. But it is challenging. I mean, making sense of all these data points, you know, you might have these data points in different buckets. You need to understand how they relate to each other and really create a tangible way to take that and create better ways to understand what these data points are. And there are ways to do this. First, you need a platform that will allow you to take all these different reports and have it as a central database. You know, then creating, taking this data and creating correlations between all the different data points and creating analytical tools to make sense of that data and reports out of that data so that you can create reports that you can push to all your different parts of your organization so that they can use these data points to actually create better decisions in different ways. And it is helping you as a publisher to understand your markets better, helping you understand how to sell, understand your users better, and this will help the different parts of your organization, the editorial team to create better content, the product team to create better products, and your sales and marketing team to sell your products better. So really, in summary, what we believe, you know, well, first, to create a whole app strategy, you need to understand your content better. Graham talked about, you know, a lot of the apps from a children's perspective, but if you have rich content, interactive content, content that has assessments, you know, understand your content and then figure out how to build it. Is it frameworks? Is it engines? Is it just a, you know, pure, just an EPUB file? And then really leverage the power of mobile. It's not just about apps. It's about the data. It's about creating a back end and the tools to help you connect all the dots. And then how you can do that, it is complex. It is getting more and more complex. There's more platforms out there. There's more markets out there. Technology is changing quite fast. But I think there are, you know, companies like ourselves that can help you figure some of these challenges out. So you need to find the right partners to help you execute on your strategy. So that's in summary. Dan, I'm pretty much done. If there's any questions, I can take it at the end of this.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. So I'm going to go through a few questions here. It's been really great to hear more background as to what each of you are working on. And as I said before, if you're in the audience, please feel free to ask questions in the Q&A section. I'll get to them in just a few minutes. So a few key things here. Now, when a traditional publisher is approaching this, I mean, both of you talked about this. This is a framework, and Graham described his own studio as you're an app developer, a mobile developer, you have sound engineering, animation. Are these skill sets that are at all endemic or a part of a traditional publisher, are they able to look at this and say, we're going to build out this skill set? Or is it so foreign to what they've done in the past that they really need to immediately partner with someone else in order to develop an app strategy? And I'll ask this in general. Either of you or both of you can take stabs at answering it, if that'd be okay.
Sure, I can go ahead. This is Graham. So I would say a couple things. Obviously, the answer to that question is going to depend on, you know, who the publisher is. I think for most people, it's going to, and I was somewhat biased to sitting in my seat, but I think for most people, it's going to be the type of thing that they're going to want to partner with somebody. I mean, this is an amazingly exciting and fun and vibrant market right now, and it's probably, you know, I don't think it's hyperbole to say that it's one of the biggest changes that's come through publishing. I mean, maybe since the printing press, for sure since movable type. You know, the last time that something changed like this, it was a long time ago, and maybe not even as a significant way. So there's a tremendous amount of new capabilities out there, and to really take advantage of those it's a unique and, you know, dedicated and specialist skill set. And while maybe the top five largest publishers could potentially, you know, build an animation studio and have sound studios and developers and things like that, I don't think it's really in the core competence, you know, context of what the value that they bring to the table, both from the point of view that their workload is going to scale up and down. So if you go and hire 30 people to fill all those roles, and then what do you do after the catalog's converted? Or, you know, what do you do until when you don't have a new book coming out? And so then you have to deal with managing all these people through kind of the ebbs and flows, whereas with a partner, you know, obviously we're working with a lot of people, and so we can staff and amortize those skills across a number of projects. You know, an animator is an extremely valuable thing to have, but it's probably only 20% of each individual property. And so if you're doing 100 properties, that's great, and he works on, you know, or they work on all those properties. If you have a more limited catalog, then what are you going to do with that person after that project is done? So, and then the other thing too is, as Asamir said, you know, technology is changing very quickly, and it's a full-time job to keep up with the standards and the evolutions and how their capabilities are changing, and what you know, what they can do and where they can do them, and the connections to the marketing people at all those different channels and things like that. And, you know, that's really, at least, you know, that's what we bring to the table is all those skills, so that a publisher can focus on doing what they do best, and we can focus on building and delivering these apps in the most efficient way.
And I think, I mean, just to add to that, I think, I mean, what we've been telling our customers is, I mean, really focus on content. That's what publishers do. And, you know, content in this context, which is the digital context, which understanding your customer, understanding how they use it, and trying to create the best product from a content perspective and a functionality perspective. And in terms of build, it's complex technologies, and it's ever-changing technologies. I think in terms of build, having a partner who's competent, who understands technology, who understands publishing, would be the right strategy. So I would recommend, you know, there's creating the best digital product, have the publisher really focus on the content and the end consumer and how best to deliver it in that medium, and then having a partner to actually build. So that's my recommendation.
Thank you both for that. I appreciate that. So I feel like there's a general mood out there that we all know this is a huge opportunity, and the issue with it is understanding the ROI ahead of time. Is there a way that a publisher can determine, is this the right time for me to be investing either a lot of money in a partnership or a lot of my own resources in terms of my staff's time to be doing this? Is there a point at which, for some publishers, if they're not going to see an immediate profit or return on investment in some way from an app, that maybe they're 6 months too early or 16 months too early? And I feel like I'm going back to the original web, you know, the big rush to the web, and from 95 to 2000, where all the newspapers, all the book publishers ran out there, they didn't see a lot of revenue, and in some ways they were too early. Do you see that in any part of the market here?
Let's see. This is Graham. I'll answer that. So at least from my perspective, I'd say it's more than an opportunity at this point. It's an imperative. I mean, you can look in so many places and see why that's true, and I would argue that it's not too early for a couple of reasons. One is, you know, if you look around, Borders is gone. Barnes & Noble's physical presence looks to be on the edge. Amazon's willing to sell you a digital copy of a book for less money than they even bought it for. They want you to pick it so bad. You know, and to me, those are indications that we're not in the part of the transition where we're waiting to find out how it happens. I mean, Amazon's digital book sales are exceeding their physical ones and have been for you know, several months now. So it's not a question to me, in my mind, of if. It's only a question of how fast is this transition going to take place. And then there's some also, and I know it can be scary for somebody coming from a business that they're used to and has operated in, you know, very much the same way for quite a long time now. But there's a lot of things to keep in mind with digital that are better than physical worlds. I mean, if you think about things like cost of inventory, shelf space, right? I mean, as an example, we have a Kung Fu Panda holiday app that we did with DreamWorks, which was a holiday Christmas kind of Kung Fu Panda app. We sold it in last Christmas. In June of this year, we released the Kung Fu Panda 2 app along with a movie. And one of the things that happened was that we saw the Kung Fu Panda holiday app up in the top 15 of all books on the App Store, just off the halo effect of the Kung Fu Panda movie coming out. Now, in the traditional, you know, physical world, that never would have happened because the holiday edition would never be sitting on the shelf in June. With the digital world, you never take things down. They've got zero cost of marginal sales. It had absolutely no additional investment required in that holiday edition for those additional sales. And, you know, the same thing's going to happen in Christmas this year. It's going to still be sitting there with no extra work. You also see things like the lower price point means that volume is much higher. Then there's also, I saw a stat recently that showed that a typical physical children's book goes through three people's hands. So one person buys it, someone else gets it, and then another person gets it before its life is over. With a digital book, you never see that happen. So where you may look at the physical book and say it's a $9.99 price point, you're actually going to hit three consumers with that book. So each consumer is paying $3. You look at one of our book apps, they're $2.99. If you look at the price per user, it's the same thing. And so while I know that people get scared sometimes about the lower prices, the volume, the convenience, and the extra functionality can make it a really good deal, especially if you look at it over the long term.
I think, I mean, just to add to that, there's multiple ways you can, you know, dip your toes into the digital world. You don't have to build a very sophisticated app that costs a lot of money. You can start with, you know, Graham talked about EPUB 3 and what can be done with EPUB 3. So you could start with, creating your e-books through just a simple EPUB 3 conversion and, you know, deliver it to some of the iBook stores and the Amazons and those markets and really see how it does and how your market does, and then as you get experience, move along the value chain and do some of the things that I presented in my presentation. So we've worked with so many different publishers and so many of them at different stages of their digital strategies, and really there's no right or wrong way, but the right way is you've got to get started and go in this direction. What we're seeing with all our publishing customers is that their ebook sales are just growing month over month, quarter over quarter, and they're investing more and more in the e-side.
Yeah, I guess one other thing I'd add in there too is which Samir touched on there is how fast the market is growing for these types of products, right? I mean, Apple sold 4 million new iPhones in 72 hours when the iPhone 4S came out. You know, Amazon, I think, especially with a $199 device, is gonna sell a ton of units. So what may look a bit like a niche market right now is, I think, going to rapidly explode as it becomes the norm for, you know, basically everybody to have one of these consumption devices in and around their house. It's going to be more and more that people are going to opt for the convenience and the price point to purchase content digitally.
Thanks. So I'm going to move into some of the I'm sorry, were you going to add something, Samir?
No.
I'm going to move into some of the audience Q&A questions because some of them are really good. So one is here, what is the best way to work with Apple? And they have some context here of how do you prevent apps from being rejected because perhaps Apple is viewing them as spam because you actually use the template to build the apps. So maybe it's something like the framework that Samir was saying where if you're using a template and they're just seeing as, I guess, what we call app spam. And in general, I'd actually like to know, you know, how you build that relationship with someone like Apple or Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Sure. So this is Graham. To take that maybe in reverse order, with building a relationship, and at this point, I would say, you know, to look at just Apple is myopic. That would have been absolutely right for the last 3 years, but now I think you definitely need to widen your viewpoint to say whatever your platform partner is, be that Apple, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon, I would say, you know, those are the ones that matter in our world, at least right now. You need to reach out to them. Almost all of them have developer relations people who are in charge of basically supporting developers, and that's usually the entry point. I mean, those, as with any relationship, it doesn't happen overnight. You don't call up and say, "Here we are," and have them all of a sudden just start doing what you wish they would. It takes time and perseverance and a long track record of producing quality content and things like that to build that relationship. So, you know, I'd say at least for us, it's definitely one of the strong things that we bring to the table as a partner is that we have those relationships already. We've got a long history of content. They pay attention when we call them or up visiting them in person and things like that. So it's a key piece and possibly a key piece of why you want to pick a partner to work, you know, through these products. As Samir correctly mentioned, you know, really what the publishers are good at is finding the great content, curating that great content, and what we're good at is turning that into digital whatever, it be it apps or ebooks, digital delivery of that and all the way through the marketing side of things. So, and then from there, to the detail part of your question there of how do you keep an app from being rejected for using a template, it varies by platform. But, you know, I'd say if you're really doing the exact same application, just changing the assets, you're probably best to go with some sort of reader model where you have basically an app container and you have some sort of shelf where you deliver that content through so that, you know, episode one and episode two are purchased in-app instead of being delivered as separate applications. But unless you're really doing, 15, 20, 30 of those kinds of things, you're generally safe with keeping things as separate apps. It's only when you really start to get to large volumes that you run into issues with that.
So the next question is, what is the average price to build an app? And actually the second part of this question is, what's the average price to sell an app? So I imagine there's multiple ways to go through this, whether you've got a partner or you're developing yourself, but is there any way to give a general sense of the scale of what we're talking about here, a launch and app strategy of building an app, and what price points we think do or don't attract consumers?
Go ahead, Samir.
Graham, let me just take it then, because I think it's going to be different in different markets, and Graham will have a different price point in the children's market. What we're seeing, we have experience in all these markets, there's really no, right price point. It's really what the content is. I mean, in the STM market, we've seen apps that are fully priced similar to the print versions of the print product, and they do, the sales are meet the expectations of the publisher. I mean, in the children's side, you know, we've got frameworks that enable you to sell, you know, like the Sesame Street app, you know, monthly subscriptions at $3.99 and yearly subscriptions at $39.99. So we've seen success across the board. But, you know, we see that in the children's market, the lower price points work. In the STM markets, the higher price points, you know, the elasticity is much higher in the professional markets.
Yeah, and so I would basically echo that from, you know, the point of view that you need the best way to figure out what to price, how to price an app or an ebook is to study the content that you're going to be competing against. You know, in terms of a dollar value, I'd say we actually are seeing app price appreciation, which is really nice to see, because I think apps were undervalued for a while. There was kind of the 99-cent and free price ghetto in the App Store, where there was just such a flood of content at very low prices that it made it hard for the quality content to be at the right price point that it should be. We're actually seeing things have increased by about 13% over the last year overall pricing on apps. You know, the average is still fairly low. I think it went from $1.30 to $1.46 as an average across everything. Most of our apps are priced in the $2.99 to $4.99 range. $4.99, I would say, is fairly expensive on the app side. You see higher prices on the ebook platforms because people are more used to shopping them as a book alternative, and typically physical book prices are higher. Of course, the revenue that ends up back with the publisher, the content owner, can be the same or even less on the physical book, because you're going to cut it in half for the retailer, and then you got to take out, you know, physical goods and delivery and things like that, which you don't have on the digital side. If price points are better on the ebook side, but volume is typically lower. Apps are still fairly inexpensive, but you can get, you know, significantly higher volume than you would expect in other places. So all in all, I think it's moving in the right direction. It's still going to feel cheap to people coming from physical publishing, but I think the volume is going to make up for it, and frankly, I think that consumers are going to start to demand it. So one of the things we're hoping to see is a little normalization between the ebook and app spaces to get more at the right level for the quality top production content there. And then in terms of an average cost for an app, it's almost impossible to say. You can build something for $5,000, or you can build something for $100,000, and it really depends on what it is you're trying to make and who you're trying to make it for.
So we just have time for one or two more questions. We have more of that in the queue, so sorry if your question doesn't get answered on the call. So one question here is it possible to have a single app for the iPad, Kindle, Nook, eBook, and EPUB? So I think it's the idea of, is it possible to develop just one app and it spreads across all the platforms, or does it take a special skill set to tailor it to each platform?
It's not possible to have one file that you can sell everywhere. Each one of those platforms has its own unique skill set. Sometimes they'll overlap with the other platforms and skill set. So, you know, for example, the Kindle and an ebook are, you know, more or less the same thing. If you want to do an interactive EPUB, then it's a whole separate set of skills. I mean, one of the things that to keep in mind is that anytime you're having user interaction that makes things happen within your product, if they touch something and it animates, or a sound comes out, or they pick a menu button or have a coloring book, anytime you do that, it doesn't matter what the underlying platform is, you're developing something. It's a programmer who has to say, if the user does this, then the product does this. And so from that point of view, you need developers on any of those platforms. Where you can get some scale across those is on the assets themselves. So, for example, we did the Biscuit. Biscuit the Little Yellow Puppy is a well-known children's brand. Probably got 16 million copies in print or so. And we did that, and we added animation and sound effects to it. So the animations and the sound effects that we're adding, those are portable between platforms. So, for example, when we build the app for Android, we're able to use the same sound effects and the same art as when we're building it for iOS. So that scales, but the development itself, you need a developer who knows how to build on that platform. And again, a reason that a partner can be good is because you don't have to hire somebody for every one of those platforms to be in that market, and more likely you don't have to hire three or four people for each one of those platforms. You can work with a partner and say, I'd like to sell it, and you know, check the box kind of on these three platforms, and then we can work with the Apples and the Amazons of the world to make sure that they know about it and it's featured and up on the front of the store and marketed to the right people and gets the visibility it needs to sell.
Thanks. We have more questions here, but we don't really have more time. So I want to hand it back over to Brian and thank everyone else again for the contributions. Brian?
Thanks, Dan. That was Tapping Apps, Strategies That Work and the Next Killer App. On behalf of Book Business, I want to thank Dan, Graham, and Samir for their time today. And I want to thank all of you out there again for attending this session. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during this presentation, we encourage you to visit the Networking Lounge to chat live with our other session attendees. And you can also visit the info booth to fill out our show survey and let us know about your experience today. Please also check out the agenda for the rest of the day today. We have several wonderful sessions lined up and encourage you to view as many as you can. Remember, if you can't catch them live, add them to your briefcase and view at your convenience in the on-demand environment. Have a great day, everyone.